Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Got some news out of the RV industry, and there's a story going around the internet. A couple people passed it along to me, that the RVIA, which is the trade group that looks out for RV manufacturers and other people in the industry, recently released a video to explain to its members what they did last year. And, you know, there's trade groups that represent different organizations out there. And there's, you know, one for the Automobile Association. There's, of course, the ones that are out there for retailers and Chamber of Commerce and so on. But we have the RVIA, which is the Recreational Vehicle Industry Association. And they put out a video. And like I said, pieces of the video are popping up on the internet now, including a little short section that I saw. And I'll put a link to that below. You can watch it yourself. But it's very short. And in it, the narrator says, 2018 was a profound year of change and progress at the RV Industry Association. The government affairs team secured victories in Vermont and Oklahoma to eliminate lemon law legislation. Let that sink in. 2018 was a profound year of change and progress at the RV Industry Association. The government affairs team secured victories in Vermont and Oklahoma to eliminate lemon law legislation. So what's going on here is, of course, I've talked about lemon law before. That's the main part of my legal practice and has been for 27 years. And lemon law covers automobiles in all 50 states. There's 50 states of each their own lemon law. But some states limit it specifically to just cars, SUVs, and personal trucks. So if you have a defective motorcycle, many states say, well, that's a different thing. It's not a lemon law claim. Defective boat, probably not a lemon law claim. And in most states, RVs are not covered either. But if you saw my phone ring and spoke to people who called me, you'd understand that there's a lot of people out there who are ticked off because they bought a brand new RV, and the first year they own it, it spends months and months and months in the shop. And when they complain, they're told, well, that's what happens. These RVs are complex items that take a lot of work, and when something goes wrong, you want it fixed right, don't you? And we're sending it back to the factory, and, you know, and so someone's sitting there going, I'm making payments on this thing. It's I haven't had it. Why am I making payments on it? So people say, what about the lemon law? I say, well, you know, if that had been a car, yeah, it'd get bought back 2 months ago. Lemon law on an RV, not so much. Now, California and a couple other states, I believe, have lemon laws for RVs, but most states don't. So a lot of people out there are disgruntled, call an attorney. Attorney says, hey, look, there's no law. I don't make the laws. Legislators do that. You've heard me say it before. If you don't like the law, call Lansing or whatever state you are and call their capital. So in Michigan, it's Lansing. You call a legislator in Lansing. See if you can get a law changed. So apparently, some people in Vermont and Oklahoma went to their legislatures, complained, and they said, yeah, why not? So I went and poked around to see if I could find a copy of one of the statutes that was proposed and struck down. Because here's the question. What is the RV industry so scared of in the lemon law? Because the lemon law just says if you make an automobile and sell it to a consumer and you can't honor the warranty, you got to buy it back. And they define what it means to honor the warranty, how many repair attempts or how long it spends in the shop in the first year. Wouldn't you think that someone who spends $250,000 on an RV should get the same kind of treatment that you get when you buy a $25,000 Econo box? You know, I mean, I just, what, you know. Wouldn't you think somebody buys $250,000 RV should get the same kind of treatment that somebody else gets when they buy a subcompact car built in Korea? Seriously, why is it that you can spend this much money on an RV and get nothing and spend this much on a car and you get all kinds of special treatment, you know? So there's a problem here. And so I went and dug up the proposed statute, proposed legislation out of Oklahoma. And basically what somebody did is they said, how about this? Let's just take the law that describes the lemon law for automobiles and just insert RV into it. Seriously. So as introduced, the act would relate to recreational vehicles, amending previous sections of the statute, which relate to motor vehicle lemon law, adding a definition, including certain recreational vehicles under the lemon law provisions and providing an effective date. So this is what they're proposing in Oklahoma. A consumer under their lemon law would mean the purchaser of a motor vehicle or recreational vehicle as defined elsewhere in the same proposal. Recreational vehicle or RV means a motorized vehicle used for both highway driving and temporary living space during periods of travel, which is commercially manufactured upon a standard extended truck or van chassis, not exceeding 30 feet in length and characterized by the RV manufacturer as a Class B, B+, or C recreational vehicle, but does not include any Class A RV, fifth wheel trailer, travel trailer, truck, camper, folding trailer, pop-up trailer, or any other towable unit or trailer, or any professional or homemade conversion of any bus, van, truck, or other vehicle. So it doesn't even cover all RVs and all trailers. It's just a couple different classes of RVs that they said, well, let's just include these as automobiles. Doesn't seem that unreasonable to me. And then it says, for the purposes of this law, if a new motor vehicle or new RV does not conform to all applicable express warranties, and the consumer reports the nonconformity directly in writing to the manufacturer, its agent or its authorized dealer during the term of such express warranties or during the period of 1 year following the date of original delivery, whichever is earlier, the manufacturer, its agent, or its authorized dealer shall make such repairs as are necessary to conform the vehicle or RV to such express warranties. And so they're basically saying, look, you've got to honor your warranties. I mean, that should not be earth-shattering. Okay, so that right there can't be what they're scared of. It does say here, though, that we're going to define what makes a vehicle not conform. And that is, if the manufacturer or its agents or authorized dealers are unable to conform the vehicle or RV to any applicable express warranty by repairing or correcting defects or conditions which substantially impair the use or value of the vehicle, after a reasonable number of attempts, the manufacturer shall accept return of the vehicle or RV from the consumer and refund to the consumer the full purchase price, including blah, 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 blah. There would be a reasonable allowance for the consumer's use of the vehicle or RV. And if a comparable model vehicle or RV cannot be agreed upon, the purchase price shall be refunded. So they're basically saying, look, if you can't fix the vehicle within a certain number of repair attempts, then you have to exchange them into one that's not defective or buy it back. And this is pretty straightforward. And this, by the way, is extremely common for lemon laws. I mean, this is how lemon laws usually work. So, and then we go on here, and it defines the nonconformities, and it here's the presumption gets created here. The same nonconformity has been subject to four repair attempts or more, the same nonconformity, or the vehicle or RV is out of service by reason of repair for a cumulative total of 30 business days during such term or during such period, whichever is the earlier date, okay? So I'll tell you right now why the RV industry gets the chills right now as I'm saying those words. There are RV manufacturers who just got chills going, somebody's talking about us, and they just said something very evil. And what I just said there that really drives them crazy is if the vehicle spends 30 days in the shop in the first year, they got to buy it back. I would love to see the statistics on how many RVs that get sold across America every year spend 30 days in the shop in the first year. It's not uncommon, okay? With automobiles, it's very uncommon, very uncommon. It happens, but not very often. But the number of people I speak to every year who say, I bought a vehicle, an RV, at a trade show or an RV show or whatever, and I took delivery of it in the spring. I immediately found problems with it, brought it right back to the dealer, and they had it for a month and a half. I go, okay. And they go, well, what about the lemon law? You don't have one of those in Michigan for RVs. They go, what? I said, no. And they say, but that's crazy. And I said, yeah, but unfortunately, what you're talking about there, the 30 days in the shop in the first year, it's nothing. It happens all the time. And so if the RV industry was forced to buy back RVs that spent 30 days in the shop in the first year, they'd be buying back so many vehicles, it would crush them financially. Now, I agree with you that that's a scary prospect if you were an RV manufacturer. The idea that if all 50 states passed these laws and suddenly they had to buy all these vehicles back, yeah, it would actually put some of these RV companies out of business. They'd actually be out of business. This is not hyperbole. This is, I'm just stating a fact. And I could find you dozens of people who deal in this field who just say, absolutely, that no question. If a 30-day down case forced the RV manufacturer to buy those things back, boom, they'd be going belly up. So you'd say, well, Steve, then this law really would be like a doomsday law for the RV industry if it got passed in all 50 states. So you can understand why they're running around stomping it out, right? I mean, they secured victories in Vermont and Oklahoma. And don't get me wrong. You know, when you watch a cobra and a mongoose face off in a battle to the death, okay, you can root for the mongoose. You can root for the cobra, okay? And in that, when you look at that and you go, well, I depends if you like snakes, you like mammals, I guess. But you look at it and go, but this is just something that happens. I mean, I understand this. I can understand this. Would I want to be the mongoose? No. But I wouldn't want to be the cobra either. You know, I mean, so you look at this and go, okay, so Steve, you're proposing legislation. Someone is that if all 50 states passed it, would crush the RV industry. That obviously there's something wrong here. Like, we need to step back even further. You know, instead of looking at this from 1,000 feet up, actually go up to 20,000 feet. What are we looking at here? And what you're looking at is the inherent problem with the RV industry. The RV industry builds vehicles that do not meet customer expectations. They just don't. And I've met people who say, Steve, your problem and the problem of many of the consumers you talk to is that their expectations are too high. And I'll agree with you. They must be too high because the RVs never meet their expectations. So you ask yourself, okay, then wait a second. How is this possible that you have people out there who are selling a product and the primary group of buyers have unrealistic expectations of that product, and when they buy it, they're unhappy? How did that happen? Is there something wrong here? Yeah, there's something wrong here, and I'll tell you what it is. It's the promises made by the RV sellers, whether it's in advertising or whether it's at a trade show by a salesman or whether it's by people sitting in a showroom at a dealership that sell these things. They put the flyer in front of you. It's a big, beautiful pamphlet with color photographs, and it looks a lot like the kind of flyers and brochures you see at a car dealership. But instead of just showing a car on the open road and then a car parked in front of somebody's house and car photographs of the car like driving around out in the mountains, the RV manufacturers put a brochure in front of you that shows you camping with this thing or taking it places or seeing the country and traveling all around. And the problem is that all goes out the window when the vehicle spends 30 days, 60 days, 90 days in the shop the first year it's owned. And now, I've had people tell me, they say, Steve, but if you lower your expectations, you can buy an RV and be happy with it. I've asked people, I said, okay, explain to me what that means. And the most common thing I hear is, if something goes wrong with the RV, fix it yourself. Now, there's a disconnect there. Because the RV has a warranty on it. And the warranty will say, if this thing breaks, we'll fix it. Just say it's a thing. Something breaks on the RV. This thing breaks, we'll fix it. A lot of guys and gals in my audience who are handy will say, Steve, if you were driving an RV and you drove it to Copper Harbor, Michigan, and you were parked in a beautiful RV lot there, and you were playing with your faucet and something broke in your faucet, would you just fix it yourself, or would you actually uproot the whole thing and drive it back to where you bought it from and say, fix that? Obviously, I'd fix that myself. Okay? Something like that, like a faucet washer or something. But I mean, I've had people tell me that they got a brand new RV and the faucets weren't hooked up. The toilet wasn't hooked up. The generator wasn't hooked up. Crazy things, you know, frames that were rusted on brand new RVs. I mean, you know, and again, not all of this is earth-shattering stuff, but I've talked before about the ones that have, you know, the major engine problems or the axles that catch on fire or things like that. And I'm not making that one up. And I know what you're saying, and don't get me wrong. I mean, I've bought products before where I could have taken it back in and said, hey, look, it's under warranty, fix it. I do that. And so everything in life is a cost-benefit analysis. But there's a major problem in most people's minds. When they drop six figures on an RV and they take delivery of it and they're driving down the road away from the car dealership, the RV dealership, and it starts to rain and water starts pouring in through the windshield. That's another example of a case I had. Now, I, as a handyman, if I wanted to, could take this thing home and do the same thing the dealership did. Buy 3 or 4 tubes of that clear caulking compound and a caulking gun. Wait till it stopped raining. Towel off the spot and spray in that goop. And then when it filled in, put in another tube of goop and put in a 3rd or 4th tube of goop, or whatever you call it. It's a scientific term. And eventually, that'll fix the leak. But is that my job? One of the things you buy when you buy a brand new vehicle, the money you're paying somebody is that you're going to get a brand new product that you expect to have some level of quality to the build, and the warranty is there for a particular reason. Could I fix these things myself? Possibly. Should I fix these things myself? Depends on how small they are, whether it matters or not. But the bigger problem is this. If I bring my RV back to the selling dealer and go, dude, it's got a bunch of problems. I need you to fix this. And they go, we'll get it back in 45 days. That should be unacceptable. And I've got a warning for the RV industry right now. Okay? Here's your warning. You can win this battle in Oklahoma. You can win this battle in Vermont. And you're going to probably win this battle a few more times this year. Because this, of course, is the 2018 report. You didn't. Right now, we're almost halfway through 2019. But remember that a lot of times, as ground swells build, you can tamp them down a little bit. But as more and more people buy defective RVs, get upset with the warranty histories, and hear this, oh, it's normal for your vehicle to be out 60 days in the first year you own it. And with things like the internet and YouTube, where this stuff gets passed around and spread around, and it's becoming more widely known now, you're going to have a harder time fighting this stuff. Because quite frankly, I never heard there's fights going on in Vermont and Oklahoma. But I'm hoping the people in my audience will let me know next time there's a proposed bill involving an RV lemon law, so I can promote it. And other people will promote it. And people like me and Ron Burge, the attorney in Ohio who files RV cases all around the country, great guy, we will continue banging the drum on this one. And eventually, somewhere down the road, the being able to brag about your victories in Vermont and Oklahoma are going to go away. And eventually there will be lemon laws for RVs. And that will be the day of reckoning for you guys. Because at that point, do you change your practices? Do you start buying back defective RVs? Can you afford to buy them back? Or could you build them better? What a novel idea. So that's a deal with the RVIA. Again, 2018 was a profound year of change and progress at the RV Industry Association. The government affairs team secured victories in Vermont and Oklahoma to eliminate lemon law legislation. You won a couple little battles. Let's see who wins the war. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later.